You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.
Are we on? You're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. And, of course, I'm here with my co-host, Robert Palmer, who's in a rare form today.
Yo, yo, yo.
What's going on in your life? You look interested in something.
Well, how often do you wake up to the sound of somebody blowing leaves outside your house at 7 o'clock in the morning to watch the Open? Right. And it turns out it's not leaves. It's your daughter's friend who has passed out half naked in her bed with her hairdryer on all night long.
Well, that sounds like a story in and of itself.
That was my morning. So, yo, yo, yo.
And, of course, we talked about that could be dangerous, right? Running a hairdryer all night, just heating up and heating up and heating up. That could have caused a big fire at your place.
Not to mention half-naked women, yes.
Oh, here we go. Also in the studio, we have Miss Jill Harvey, our healthy lifestyle coach. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
And Jill, by the way, is looking...
Fetching.
Fetching would be the appropriate word. I think so. And I got to believe there's
an...
I got to believe there's a reason for this. I got a text or I got a message this morning from a guy I haven't heard from in years, by the way. It seems like years.
Maybe Bob Marley?
Bob Marley.
Did he call?
He did. Yeah. He's back.
Bizarre,
He's back.
Yeah, got you. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, man, I call.
Right. And it is your birthday today.
It is my birthday.
So happy birthday.
Wow. 21 again. Yeah.
Again.
Hey, I hope you're hearing the guitar in the background. April, do we know if we can hear that guitar in the background? Because we've got the... We can hear that.
I can hear that.
That sounds beautiful, too. We have some engaging, interesting, fascinating guests this morning. Two musicians, a guitarist and a keyboardist. And we're going to take this one step at a time. But, Miss Jill, let's kind of run through some healthy lifestyle tips this morning, if you don't mind.
So today is fun. So today's about being happy. What can you do? The top 10 ways to boost your happiness potential.
Okay.
Can we talk about that on the radio?
Yeah, we can actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll talk. Okay. Number 10 is to set goals. Because when you set goals and you start fulfilling them, there's a feeling of progress and a feeling of accomplishment. Right?
You're right. Yeah.
You like that? Number 9, accept your emotions. So many people push them down. They don't really relate to them. So they get pushed down or they medicate them. They drink. Robert, I don't know. Okay. You okay?
Don't speak so loudly.
Yeah.
Number 8 is eliminate negative people and negative thoughts out of your life. So negative people can just be like that Debbie Downer, right?
They are.
And then negative thoughts. There's a woman who's a life coach, Kristen Howe. This is a great thing. If you're having a negative thought, you're feeling anger, you just think of 3 things that make you laugh out loud that happened in your life. And think of one, and it will displace that anger or that negativity.
Like that.
Like that, right? Number 7, aromatherapy.
Ooh,
yeah, so you
I
can
like
diffuse
that.
Some lemon or bergamot or mint or lavender, yeah. Right? So that, you know, scent has a way of calming you or getting you energized or happy.
Okay. Yeah,
all right, number 6 is first thing in the morning, do something that makes you happy. Find
nice.
Something that makes you happy. Sing.
Turn off the hair dryer.
And then number 5 is to meditate.
Oh.
Even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even if it's just watching your breath, meditate. And then exercise. Get out in nature. Right? Go for a walk on the beach. Do
Good.
Something. Get that blood flowing.
You know where the beach is, don't you?
We're right.
Pretty
I like it. And here's one that's
What's
kind
wrong
of
with you today, man? You got a lot of something going on. I can't figure out what, but I'm liking it. Go ahead, Jill.
And the other one, this is fitting for today. Play
sure.
music.
Ooh.
Dance with
Let's
it.
Let's hear it.
Sing with it. Listen to it. Woo!
Nice.
Oh, my God. Number 2. We're getting to number 1. Number 2 is laugh.
Yay!
Always laugh. Be with playful people. Be playful in your life. And number 1. Have some dark chocolate, some wine, some champagne.
Is that number 1, really?
Number 1, and it's my birthday.
Yay! Yay! Happy birthday!
That's why, so there you go.
In fact, speaking of your birthday, we have somebody on the phone who's called in who's a stranger to this show.
Oh,
well, actually, he's not a stranger. He used to be a friend of the show, but a caller, are you there? Hello, caller.
I'll be back for dinner.
There you go.
All right, well, that was fun.
This is a great cause.
That
Hello.
Was great.
Hello.
This is Roger. Do I have this right? Roger Harvey. Is that who's on the phone?
I'm sorry. I've been in a Turkish prison for the last 16 months.
Right, right. And you're calling from where, by the way?
I'm calling from my bedroom. I have 36 children in here, and uh-huh. they all want to sing to Jill.
Are you okay? Are you going to sing Happy Birthday? Is that the call?
I think they are. Aren't you, kid? Good.
Yeah. Roger, seriously, where are you calling from? Where are you living these days? Besides the Turkish prison.
I'm not kidding. I was in a Turkish prison.
Okay. Well, welcome home, my friend. Anything you want to say to Miss Jill before we sign off?
Yes, if you guys would join in just for a quick little happy birthday, and then I can okay. send the children home.
Okay.
Key of G, here we go.
In the key.
In the key. Let me hang on. I've got a little happy keyboard. Ready?
No, no, we're good. We got the guitarist. Guitarist.
Happy birthday to you.
Everybody.
Happy birthday.
Come on, Corey.
To you.
Corey.
Cyrus.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
I love
you.
I love that guitar
Thank
work.
You, that was beautiful. Thank you. Wow.
All right, Roger, we're signing off, man. Thanks for that.
Roger.
We appreciate the phone call, man. It's good to hear your voice. I hope we get to see you sometime soon.
You will. I will. They're letting me out next Thursday.
Excellent.
Love you all.
All right, safe travels, my friend. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Also, thanks. By the way, Radio Caravan is airs, of course, on Cox Channel 3 and 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon Sundays. Tonight, we have David Wilhelm, restaurateur. David Wilhelm of Jimmy's Famous American Tavern. We did an interview with him through Robert. That was one of your contacts.
There we go.
One of your
there
golfing.
Last night.
Huh?
I was there last night.
Were you? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Nice restaurant, isn't it?
They're almost out of scotch, though, but we
had a so that's tonight, 8 o'clock, 12 noon tomorrow. We reach about 250,000 cable subscribers. Also, I wanted to throw out tonight at the Coach House.
By the way, it was there with one of our most loyal listeners, Laguna Larry.
Who's Laguna Larry?
Give him a shout out.
A shout-out to Laguna Larry. Well, that's good to hear. All right. Loyal listeners. And then tonight at the Coach House is our dear friend Henry Capono from the Islands. And, in fact, April, do
from
you
where,
have...
Man?
From the Islands. And play a little bit of Henry Capono so people can kind of hear his style.
Have you ever seen a yellow mustard mountain? When California sun shines in the sky. Have you ever seen a dancing softly in the wind?
Painted Hi, April. Night. Thank you very much.
There's a happy kind of feeling.
Okay, that's Henry Capono tonight at the Coach House. If you've never seen Henry Capono, if you've never heard Henry Capono, we had him in the studio last year, a very gracious gentleman and a wonderful singer-songwriter. So he's there tonight. I think that's probably about
By the way, my wife texted me.
I know.
I apology to Casey. It was her friend Gabby that was half naked.
Got you.
So it was even weirder than I had feared.
All right, let's get going. We got a lot to do this morning. I want to introduce our guest this way. We got all the cameras going, yes. Engineering, we're good to go. Excellent. Thumbs up. I'm going to read you a couple of things, Robert, about our guest this morning.
Got your text, Laguna Larry. Keep listening.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's nice. He played lead guitar. And you correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, okay? Mm-hmm. On the debut album for Elton John.
Right.
He's played
Tumbleweed Connection?
Before that as well.
Oh, my goodness.
The very first one, right?
Holy fucks.
He played lead guitar as a studio musician for Paul McCartney, Mick Jagger, Peter Townsend, Hall & Oates. Yeah. He's performed on stage in front of hundreds of thousands, is that fair, of people, including a sold-out concerts at Madison Square Garden 7 days in a row.
Right.
Elton John's current guitarist, Davey Johnstone, is that how you pronounce his last name?
He's been with him for years.
Yeah, says of our guest, he's a brilliant guitar player. He can play almost everything you throw at him. And also, and legend has it that Eric Clapton was on the David Letterman show. And Letterman asked Eric Clapton, so what's it like to be the best guitar player in the world?
Wow.
And Clapton's response was, I'm not. Ask our next guest, Caleb Quay, correct?
That's correct.
Round of applause for that. What an impressive resume.
Thank you very much.
Holy
I mean, what's it feel like to be the greatest guitar player in the world?
Oh, man. I mean, it's just, I mean, when that happened, I was just absolutely stunned. I mean, I've known Eric for a long time, from back in the Cream days, but I was just stunned. I mean, there's so many other guitar players that are far better than I am.
But the other guitarists seem to, and the other musicians seem to really respect your talents. How old were you when you sort of hooked up with Elton John and started that whole process?
We knew each other as teenagers, uh-huh, right after high school. So I met him when I was 15 and he was 16.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And we struck up a friendship then, and I was actually his first producer. I was working for the Beatles music publishing company, Dick James Music. And I became, Dick James started his own record label, and I became the studio engineer and A&R man for his label when I was 17 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Elton, who was back then was Reg, stopped by. He was looking for, started to write songs and was looking for to get signed up. And so he came to to the company and had to audition for me.
How funny is that? Hilarious.
How'd the young lad do?
Yeah, it was hilarious. Okay? So I was his first producer and got him and Bernie Taupin the first publishing and recording contracts with Dick James.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you confirm a story I heard that Elton and John are two guys he played with in his early bands and he loved those names? Original changed his name to Elton John after two of his bandmates?
I was instrumental in that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because we were about to release a single that we'd done.
Uh-huh.
And we decided, I was telling him, we need a stage name, because Reg Dwight's just not going to cut it, you know.
Yeah.
And so we were both playing with, John is John Baldry, Long John Baldry.
Yes.
We were playing in his band, a band called Bluesology. And so we had this single ready to be released, but we needed a name. So we were in a bus and scribbling out names, you know, we're racking our brains because we're in a time, you know, jammed for time, you know. And so he said, well, you know, he says, we had a sax player in the band called Elton Dean. And then there was John Baldry. You know, he says, well, I like Elton's name and I like John's name. Wow. You know, he says, what about this John Elton? He'd written down John Elton. And I said, well, you know what? I think Elton John sounds better.
Wow.
So he said, okay, we'll go with that.
He should pay you royalties on that, you know? You'd be a rich man today.
That would be nice, yes.
How did you become so accomplished on the guitar? I mean, was it just a love affair from the very beginning for you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was born into a musical family.
Your father is?
My father was a professional jazz musician back then. And
Cab K.
Was his stage name, yeah. And he was good friends with all the jazz greats of his era.
Mm-hmm.
So he was famous in England and Europe. So when they would come over to Europe and England to tour, they would stop by our house. So we had Duke Ellington, Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie coming through our house, all these people. You know,
you're a kid? You had
those are
kid.
Your dinner guests.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
I'm serious, yeah. Yeah. So
wow.
I had a very
had, like,
privileged...
annoying people just got over that. So that's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, did you know at the time who
Oh, I knew who they were.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. My dad was playing them. We knew who they
really?
Were. We used to take us to the shows. So that's all I ever wanted to do. And on my father's side, there's five generations of musicians prior to him.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So music was just in the family. It's in the DNA.
Yeah.
So I was born into it. You know?
Wow.
And that's all I ever wanted to do was be a musician like my dad.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I was born with, I had a natural ear and stuff for it, you know. But when I, my dad taught me to play piano when I was four, and then I went to drums when I was seven, and then picked up the guitar when I was 12, and the guitar became my voice, my main instrument. You know,
beautiful. Your first album with Elton John was a success, yes?
Somewhat. Actually, the very first album we did with him was called Empty Sky. That was the first one that was released in England. He had some moderate success, but then the big one, the one that broke him, was it was called Elton John. That
mm-hmm.
was the one with your song on it and mm-hmm. the black cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then it just all took off.
Yeah.
That was that album, and then Tumbleweed Connection and Madman Across the Water. I was on all of that stuff.
And you toured with him during that period of time?
Well, a little after. I actually toured with him in Captain Fantastic period, you know.
Hmm.
But back then I had my own band, a band called Hookfoot, which actually was the rhythm section for Tumbleweed Connection, a lot of that. And we were friends, and Elton used to, actually in the early days before he had the trio, because we were what you would call stable mates. So my band was signed to the same, we were signed to Dick James's label, you know. So Elton used to come out to Hookfoot gigs and work out his songs with us.
Talking about the trio, how good was Nigel and Dee? Those are some
They're very good.
Amazing excellent. Drummer, amazing bass
oh,
player.
Oh, yeah, excellent, yeah, yeah. So we were all part of the same company, same stable, you know. We were all friends. There's a lot of community involved, you know.
As a student musician, when you're in the studio recording with, say, Mick Jagger or Paul McCartney or Hall & Oates, are you allowed a certain amount of flexibility to work out your riffs?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you've got your guitar with you, by the way, which is a beautiful Stratocaster. Mm-hmm. And we've got a little amp on the table here. And engineering-wise, we think we're pretty good to hear this. Is there a little something that kind of demonstrates your skills here you could play for us that we could hear? And April, you let me know if we can hear okay, yeah?
Well, speaking of Clapton, let me play a little Clapton tune.
Ooh, I'd like that.
Change the World?
Yeah.
Gorgeous song. Pleasure one day. I got an airplane, my Eric Clapton story, right after his son died. He put out that beautiful song, You Know My Name. It's just stunning. Got on a plane in London. I'm sitting in first class. I sit down, look over, my seatmate, Eric Clapton.
Wow.
So I looked at him and I said, I've been a musician for much of my life. I just want to let you know how much I respect you. And I'm going to let you know I'm not going to talk to you the rest of the flight. other than to give my condolences to the loss of your son, that beautiful song. And we struck up a friendship. We started chatting for about 5 or 10 minutes. He goes, what's your name, mate? And I go, you won't believe it. It's Robert Palmer. He's like, you know Robert Palmer. Well, not that Robert Palmer.
Right,
but if you
want
to go through Customs slow, go through it behind Eric Clapton. They grabbed him. He was a heroin addict at the time, and he runs a clinic now.
Right,
they grabbed him, ripped his clothes to bits, his bag to bits. But he was like, no big deal. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
One of the nicest men I met. He was very gracious.
Yeah. You don't play with a pick.
No.
You've never. I mean,
I used to, but I haven't played with a pick for about 15 years now.
And why is that? More flexibility, or?
You know, it's really for combination of things, mostly for issues of tone and articulation.
Mm-hmm.
You can get inside the note more than you can with a pick. And then I think maybe the other thing is I'm just getting old.
How old are you, by the way?
65.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow. And you're still a musician. You're still doing your thing. You're still performing. Mm-hmm. You're doing all of that stuff, You have an interesting story. At the height of your career, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this, and I know we're kind of I wish we had hours to have this discussion, but I know you got your documentary crew out here, and they're filming a documentary about you. So you, at the height of your career, you went through sort of some drug issues. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a musician. That's redundant.
Yeah. how bad did it get?
Well, it got really bad, too, where, you know, basically lost everything. I really didn't know what I was doing. I was very, very depressed, and actually came to the point of almost dying, you know. And I had an experience where I was in a hotel room. It was actually with when I was working with Hall & Oates. And
what kind of drugs at the time, by the way, before you continue?
Basically, you name it.
Okay. Heroin?
All of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, in those kinds of situations when you're at the top of the tree, so to speak,
right?
You know, I mean, it's no problem to get, it's no difficulty to get anything,
right?
Whatever you want,
yeah.
You know, and so, you know, we arrive at a hotel and the dealers are waiting for you there, you know, so it's pretty crazy. And I had no anchor in my life, you know, no spiritual anchor, nothing, you know. And I was earning a lot of money and spending a lot of money and really had no sense, you know, to be honest. And so I was in the middle of a downward spiral, and I was sat in my hotel room one day, and I heard a voice speak to me and just simply tell me, Caleb, from this point on, your life's going to be completely different and nothing's going to be the same for you ever again. And I sat there, and all I knew was that I had been spoken to, and I just didn't know by whom. And it's like one minute I'm stoned out of my mind, I hear this voice, and I'm completely sober.
The next minute?
Just completely straightened up, you know, and it's like, what in the world, you know. And all I knew was that I'd been spoken to. I wasn't looking for God, I wasn't looking for Jesus or anything. I was looking for some answers to this life, this crazy life, you know. And so I made a promise to myself, just sat there and made a promise to myself that one day I'm going to find out who that voice belonged to.
So the next day or the next moment after you heard this voice and you were now sober, did you make effect, did you affect any changes to your life at that point, or did you continue?
Not really. I was still on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was still on the road, and it was actually on my 30th birthday. And so now it's weird, in rock and roll, you're supposed to die when you're about 30, you know. And some of my friends used to write songs about that, you know. And so word had gone out in the industry, Caleb's turned 30. And so,
and he's still not dead.
Yeah, right. And so, so
what's wrong with this guy?
Exactly. And so some of my friends, you know, I'd meet him in airports or whatever, you know, say, hey, man, we just heard you just turned 30. Like, what happened? You know,
where'd you go wrong?
I'm supposed to keel over right there, you know. And I tell them this story that I just told you. I heard this, and they're like, wow, man, that's really far out. You know, what were you smoking? Where can we get some? You know, and I go, no, you don't understand. This was a real deal. You know, something's going on, you know. And so to cut a long story short, it was about 3.5 years later.
Before we get there, because I want to save that last story 3.5 years later. Yeah.
Sure.
So for the next 3.5 years, you continued to perform, you continued to tour, you continued to do your drugs. You were on stage in front of hundreds of thousands of people. You were in the studio recording these albums. But yet something was missing there. So before we go to 3.5 years later, what was missing, do you feel, looking back on that time period? You had everything that really a lot of musicians would want.
I guess the best way to describe it is a hole in your soul. You know, you had all these things, you know, all the material things of this world, you know, but my marriage was falling apart. I couldn't hold that together. You know, it's to do with inside.
Caleb, do you ever write a song called Hole in Your Soul? That'd be a good song.
No, but it's a good title.
Yeah, I like
it's
it.
A great title, yeah.
I'll let you use it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Modest royalty.
But it was just this emptiness and also a lot of built up anger towards my father, who had abandoned us when I was 12 years old.
Got you.
So those are the kind of issues, you know, and in actual fact, you know, a lot of sociological, medical and psychological studies indicate that a lot of addiction, things like that, are connected with issues to do with either parental or authority figures in your life. You know? And I was a classic case.
Did your father see the height of your success?
He did, actually.
And what was his response to that?
Oh, he was thrilled.
Okay.
He was thrilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were abandoned by him at 12.
Yeah.
You were at the height of your career. You were taking all sorts of drugs. Is there another rift from that time period you can kind of play for us? anything? Do you write songs? Are you a songwriter yourself?
Yeah, I do. But the songs I write now today are mostly gospel songs.
Okay.
You know. But from that period, well, it's a crazy. It's a very advanced piece of music right here. You put the lime in the coconut.
Yeah, I know.
So she's laughing. She goes, oh, I heard that when I was a kid. So I played on that, you know.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your lead guitar work?
I don't know. Pretty good, I
think.
Yeah? Yeah. And then there's, of course, this classic.
We play that for Jill normally. Yeah, we like that.
That's beautiful.
I played on all their records, the Trogs.
Wow.
The Trogs.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite album you played on? Do you have a favorite musician you played with?
Oh, that's good.
What's that noise? Is that a car alarm?
Car alarm.
Okay. Sorry,
you know what? That's my car.
Oh, did you?
You've just been robbed. Welcome
you have
to
your
the
keys?
Show.
There he goes.
Yeah. What bloody idiot is it? Oh, it's on the bloody idiot.
Goodness me.
Bloody hell.
I mean, I don't want you to, you know, pick out somebody.
Favorite musician. Oh,
you probably had a lot of them. I get it. Yeah, but, I mean, is there any sort of reflection on one particular album, one particular song, one particular musician?
You know, Elton would have to be way up there.
Okay.
Because, just because of a lot of things that involve, you know, friendship, community and stuff. Right. And I was telling somebody earlier on, they were asking about the Tumbleweed Connection album, you know. A lot of that stuff was done in one take.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
that's
recording amazing. With Elton back then was very easy because, number one, we, as I said, he'd run through a bunch of the songs, worked them out with my band Hookfoot. So when we all went in the studio, we knew the songs. So in terms of, if you want to think in terms of like pre-production, that was all squared away.
Yeah.
So we'd go in the studio from the road or wherever we were and just run through the songs a couple of times.
Was this song done in one take?
What? Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Robert showing off the chops there. A little gun shy though. I asked him earlier if he'd do that, but
yeah,
he
no, that's
do that.
That's who I grew up to. That's been my hero my whole life. So it's really cool.
So you mentioned
is that true?
Ballad, you mentioned Tumbleweed Connection. Ballad with Well Known Gun was done in one take.
Wow. You know? Were you involved in 11-1770?
No, that was
live
the trio
albums of all time.
That was the trio.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whose idea was that? This is a live album they did on a radio station.
It was a last-minute thing.
Yeah.
It was a last-minute thing.
Extraordinary album.
Yeah. And so, you know, Ballad of One on Gun was done in one take. You know, people for years. I mean, how many years ago was that? 43 years ago or something? You know, and they say, I still get asked about the guitar intro to Ballad of One on Gun, you know, which was... etc. You know.
Yeah, beautiful.
Wow. And that was just last minute. You know, we were up in the control room. The studio was down here. The control room was up there. We'd done a couple of run-throughs. Went upstairs to listen to a bit, make sure everything was balanced right. Yeah, great. Okay, let's go down and knock out a take. So as we're walking downstairs, the producer, Gus Dudgeon, he shouts out to me, oh, by the way, we were thinking we'd like to have a guitar intro for this tune. So, okay, no problem. You know, we go down, put the guitar on, count it off, and that was it.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it was done in one take.
Wow.
That's amazing.
You know.
Yeah. So we were talking, height of your career, went through some drug issues. You were stoned in a hotel room where you heard this voice, and I cut you off. And 3.5 years later, you heard that voice again.
Right.
You want to share with us that story?
Yeah, it was a friend of mine, Chester Thompson, who's...
the greatest B3 player in the history of the world.
Not that Chester Thompson.
Oh, damn it.
The drummer with Phil Collins and Genesis.
He's not bad either.
And Weather Report.
Weather Report was
the
band.
Yeah,
Stanley
Clark
was out there. Korea.
And so we became friends, and Chester and his wife were telling me, you know, they let me know they were Christians and they went to church. You know, I was going, oh, great. Just like anybody, that's good for you, man. That's good for you. You know, whatever floats your boat, you know. And one day, it was on Easter Day, 1982, he called me up in the morning and said, what are you doing today? I said, not much. And I'd been up all night dealing drugs and going crazy. He said, why don't you come to church with us today? It's Easter. I thought, okay, I'll do that. Give it a go. Give it a shot. I've tried everything else. Why not? So I go into this church on the way in Van Nuys, and it was during the worship time. The same voice that spoke to me in the hotel room speaks to me right there in the church in the midst of, of the worship time and says very clearly, Caleb, it's time for you to come home to me today because I have a new life for you. And I recognize the voice. I'm going, oh, this is Jesus.
Wow.
You know? And it was on that day that when they gave the invitation at the end of the service, I stood up with my hand raised up and I said, Lord, if you can take me, if you can do something with me, you got it, you know. So that's when I said yes to Jesus. That's when I turned it over.
Did you stop drugs then and there?
That happened a little day. There's 2 days in the calendar year that are very important to me. One was Easter Day. That was the day I said yes. The other day is 50 days later. It's called Pentecost Sunday. And that's when I got baptized on that day. And I went in the water, a mess, came out brand new. It's called deliverance. I got, you know, God graciously delivered me, set me free from all that.
Never
had to do rehab. I was a candidate for 12-step, 24, 36, 48-step. Never had to do any of that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Did you ever write any songs about that experience?
Not particularly about that experience. Mm-hmm. In actual fact, for a while, for about 6 months or something, I stopped playing the guitar. I came out of the industry, just stopped everything, and bought a Bible. And it was like an exchange was going on. It was like God was saying to me, I want you to put this instrument down for a while. I want you to learn this new instrument. Mm. Which was, and for me, reading the Bible, I mean, the words were jumping off the page. It was like music. It was like learning a new instrument, you know. And then shortly after that, I started playing again and just got involved in a lot of music ministry.
Beautiful. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. This is Radio Caravan. We're in the studio this morning with famed legendary guitarist Caleb Quay. We're going to take a short musical break because we have a second musical guest coming into the studio, and we're going to talk now about what you're doing these days as well. And you want to take us out with a little music, and then April, just let him play for a while, and we'll let the audience hear. Take off our mics, though, and we'll get set up.
Thank you.
So we're going to bring in our next guest, but I'm going to let the music and his appearance sort of dictate how this goes. Quick question for the camera guys. Am I moving this mic over here for him to sing?
Yes,
great.
You are.
And the keyboard's April's ready to go. Let's hear this song a little louder and let's bring in our next guest. Pull it up.
Yeah. It's Elton John. Oh my God.
Pleasure to meet you. I'm back to the
I had all those bills when I got
here. I looked
at... Reginald's lost some weight here. Reginald, you're looking great.
Does he need headphones? He may need headphone sets, but we're going to work on this there. Is that plugged in? Great. All right, here's a couple of things here. Who we have in the studio is Kenny Metcalf, and Kenny Metcalf does an Elton John tribute, and when I saw that he was playing at the Orange County Fairgrounds tonight, Kenny, and we don't have him on mic yet, but we're going to make that happen in a moment, at the Hangar. What time is that? 8 o'clock, I think?
Doors open at 7:30.
Doors open at 7:30 tonight at the Hangar and the Orange County Fairgrounds.
I was there Thursday, and there was a Bitch and Van Halen tribute band, and they were the best I've ever seen. And that's a great. Have you played the Hangar before?
Oh yes,
it's a great venue, isn't it?
Before, yeah.
Huge crowd. Oh, I might have to go back tonight to see you. This
would be cool. You'll have a great time if you do.
I know I will.
I'm going to have Mr. Caleb Quay actually join me on stage.
Oh, I changed my plans tonight. Wow.
We should mention here that Kenny Metcalf is playing tonight. He does an Elton John tribute. He's actually here in his full uniform, and there really is quite an uncanny likeness, don't you think?
I thought it was Sir Elton when he walked in, other than the fact there's only half a Sir Elton here yet. He's the old Elton. Kind of like you have the old Elvis and the new Elvis. He's the old Elton, yeah.
Thank you. Kenny's at the keyboards. We're going to try to make this work. I'm feeling very shallow here on my head. Is it just me, or is that the way it's sounding? Okay, great.
You are kind of shallow.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And Caleb's going to play along with him. And I think, April, are you picking up the mic okay? You need it closer.
Closer's
always good.
Well, as you play, I'll pull it. Oh, yeah, we could do that.
We could always just like slide that forward. As long as I don't hit Caleb, you know. I mean, you know, don't want to take him out. All right, that's better.
Ooh. Perfect.
All right.
Kenny Metcalf here. Caleb Quay, get comfortable. Is that the keyboard? We hope this works.
All right. Well, let's give it a try. All right. Here we
go. Sorry about the pedals down there somewhere.
No, that's okay. I'm wearing platform shoes, so you know. It's like.
By the way, if you go out and YouTube Kenny, you'll see his performances on stage, and really he is amazing. He's quite an entertainer and musician up there. It's really
Thank you.
Yeah. So please, my friend.
Would you guys like to hear "Tiny Dancer" or something?
Whatever you'd like.
Beautiful. We're not going to do that one.
Oh.
So. All right. Here we go. Well, it's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where if I was a sculptor, then again, no. Or a man makes potions in the travel and show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you. And you can tell everybody this is a song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world. kicked off the Mars. Oh, well, a few. I got lost, sorry. All the verses, cause they got me quite cross. But the sun's been quiet. I have totally lost, Caleb. Oh, my gosh. That's no, no. Yeah, no, yeah.
That's all right, man. That sounded great. I mean, here's the point. It sounds phenomenal.
This stuff really happens live, folks.
Everybody else
really
in the room
does.
Was singing, but Kenny forgot the
No, you know. Yeah, it's like people like you.
Let me ask you a question, my friend.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
It proves this is live radio.
This is not your prime hour right now.
Yeah, no.
I'm done right now.
Kenny, let me ask you a question, though. I mean, when I've seen you on stage, YouTube, and on the internet, right?
Yeah.
There's a huge sort of thing going on stage there. There are the costumes. There's the musicians who are really quite phenomenal. And a great stage presence going on. There's a lot of effort and resources invested in this for you.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because we can. No. It's, you know, being a tribute is, the ultimate kind of tribute to doing whatever band you're trying to go after is to recreate the whole image, the whole persona, recreate that era and what they did in those days and the 70s and what all the bands were doing back then was just amazing. And you have a generation of kids that grow up with loops. And they don't know what, you know, Fruit Loops too, but they've grown up with loops and they don't know much about music, you know, from that standpoint. And so a tribute band comes out, and when you play it, you know, pretty much spot on without mistakes, you know, you're showing them what it was like, and it's inspiring younger kids to come out and, you know, want to be musicians again and take up instrumentation and play melodical music. 70s were magical, and so, you know, we spent a lot of money, we put a lot of time into it, try to get as close vocally to the sound of the person we're doing. At the same time, you know, visually recreating the costumes and the antics and everything on stage, so... And it takes being spot on. It's what I call musical theater.
I love that, musical theater. That sort of makes sense for me. That resonates for me. But why Elton John?
Well,
why not? There's no one better.
You could have picked anybody, I guess.
Well, no, yeah. Well, you know, my inspiration from the very start was Spinal Tap, of course. You know, it's like,
yeah, baby.
You know, yeah. Big, you know, it's like, duh.
Can we bust into that?
Yeah. No, I just. And, you know, I was born and raised in Los Angeles.
So does it take you an hour and a half to find the stage, just like Spinal Tap? Do you reenact that?
No,
you have a little Stonehenge set when you play?
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, we have a small little piano that we lowered down. Well, we have had that problem with drummers, though. They just go poof. You know?
You don't use the little pods, do you? Get stuck in the pod.
No.
Back to Elton John. He was an inspiration for you musically?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I was a drummer. I played drums for 10 years. Oh, hey, where'd that British thing just go? Anyways, yeah. I was a drummer for 10 years and learned to play the drums, learned to read music, played charts, played in jazz groups and different
stuff
like that.
You're a drummer that could read charts?
Yeah, actually,
yeah. Obviously jazz, yeah.
Yeah, and you want to know where it got me, and it nowhere.
but you played with a band called Striper back in the 70s.
You played with Striper?
Yeah, oh, the 80s, yeah.
80s. Wow.
Yeah, I was their original live tour keyboardist for the first two record albums. I got lucky and got that gig. And it was just fun, and that opened the door for me to tour. And I'm actually playing venues like I played with them when they went on their first, you know, real album launch tour. And but the thing about the Elton thing, my freshman year in high school, this is going to date me a little bit, but Benny and the Jets was number one on the charts, and I ended up, I was in drama and theater in the round, and a guy walks into the drama room, started playing Benny and the Jets on the piano, you know. Well, he did that. Every girl in the place got up, went around that piano with him. And I looked at my best friend and I said, I have never had that effect on a girl while playing drums. So I went home and taught myself to play. Honest truth. And Elton was the music inspiration behind it. Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about how you and Caleb got together for a moment. But, you know, you sent me an email a couple of days ago and you said it was okay to talk about this.
Yes, yeah.
You suffered, 10 years ago, you suffered from an autoimmune disease that was really quite horrific. Do you want to sort of describe that experience you went through and how that led you to this whole
Oh,
soul
okay.
genre of yours?
Yeah, and keep it brief. The disease is called pemphigus vulgaris. I've never heard of it, never had any idea what it was. I was 46
anything
years old.
Anything with vulgaris in it, I want nothing to do
yes,
with
yes, anything,
that.
Yes. You know what? And it took the doctors 8 months to figure out what it was that was killing me. And it was literally just started with a sore in the back of my throat. And I thought I had, you know, I was eating French fries. I thought I'd burn myself with a hot fryer or something, you know. And then it kept spreading and in my mouth. And it got to the point where the middle of soft bread, white bread is so soft, you know. If I bit into that, it would tear my gums off my mouth. So to swallow water was like drinking broken glass. You get discouraged on eating. And, well, it was spreading, and then it got outside my skin, and it causes your skin to detach. And so sores create, and they don't heal, and it keeps spreading, and it gets worse and worse. And I didn't know what it was, and, you know, I just was asking God for a miracle. And 2 years, almost 2 years to the... To that time, it took me to death's door to where, I mean, in that process, I'd asked God to kill me 3 times. It was so painful. I was laying on the bathroom floor because I couldn't sleep anywhere else. I literally was covered with these sores that were just bleeding, and I couldn't wear clothes. It got that bad because they'd stick to my skin, and literally, if just a little movement that we have with our normal clothes would tear my skin off.
I rarely say, fortunately, your prayers were not answered, but they were not, and you're still here. So it was that bad?
Oh, no, it was that bad. It took me, it literally, and you know, and each time that happened where I asked God to kill me, because it was so painful, I mean, I was ready to leave everything. When you know, you're willing to leave your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, right. And, you know, nothing matters in life anymore because the pain was so bad. It was that horrific. But every time that I asked God to kill me, I said, nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. You know, if this is what you want, I'm okay with it. And, you know, took me to death's door. They wheeled me in at UCI, and it was my last day on earth. I was literally a 125-pound vegetable in a wheelchair. And as they started taking me in to the UCI burn ward, my wife says, "You're not leaving yet." And something happened in my spirit, and it just changed. The doctor said, they told me, they said, "We can't take credit for your turnaround." You know, for that. They can take credit for, you know, doctoring me up, putting bandages on me and filling me full of medication and stuff, which they still do, you know, to this day. But I don't have all the scarring on me and all of that, you know. So in that process, it took 3 years of recovery in bed. And then I'm still recovering. I mean, my immune system is still compromised. It's just sedated, under control kind of thing.
You look great. You and Caleb have a lot in common.
Thank you.
It sounds like. Yeah.
So,
how did you and Caleb sort of hook up then in this sort of arrangement here?
Musical spiritual revolution. Here.
Well, I met Caleb at the NAMM show,
right.
National
NAMM
Association
show.
Of Music Merchants.
I
and
every year.
And it was like 3 years ago, and he was playing there, and I was walking around trying to get endorsements and stuff. And yeah. Actually, I had endorsements with the piano shell company, and I got them to go in Grand Illusion piano shells. They made me a 6-foot baby grand.
Wow.
Can't walk on stage and have a digital keyboard
no,
there. It
cannot.
Doesn't look like Elton. So we created a 6-foot baby grand that weighs about 150 pounds. I slide my keyboard into it. And so Grand Illusions was there. And so I was performing for them, but I was in my Elton costumes. And so I went and I'm standing in the audience and watching him play.
I was playing it.
Wow.
Performing after hours and at the NAMM show. And so, you know, he just thought I was just some guy dressed as Elton. And then we started talking and then we hit it off. The next year, NAMM put us up to play there. And
really?
So Caleb came to watch us, and then I think it was like 4 months later, Caleb joined us on Access TV, the world's greatest tribute bands. Mark Cuban and Ryan Seacrest gave us a 1-hour live broadcast as the best Elton tribute.
So all you kids out there, NAMM is the National Association of Music Merchants, and it's the largest musical show in the year. And in the winter, it's, and I think, still in Chicago, and they do it out here in Anaheim.
And, they do
and you
it
have
national.
To be in the business to get in here.
Right.
And I had a friend that was in the business. I used to be in the business, so for 32 years I've been in the NAMM show as a fake music buyer for him. But you're in a room literally this big and you're seeing Styx, Toto, Return to Forever, Chick Corea. It's just, it's beyond belief.
Caleb Quay, Kenny Medcalf, right? All these people in the room.
If only you could dream that big. I didn't get to see that.
Striper.
Striper, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Hey, by the way, you're listening to Cakes 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. Get through this business here. This is Radio Caravan. I'm Scott Hayes, co-host Robert Palmer. We're here with guitarist Caleb Quay and Elton John. How would you describe it? Elton John performer?
Kenny Metcalf is Elton tribute.
Elton tribute, who plays tonight at the Hangar at the Orange County Fairgrounds. And for all the listeners out there, if you want to be entertained and hear some great music and some great musicians, make it a point of heading there tonight, yeah?
And the show's amazing. The Hangar, they rebuilt it. It's a beautiful venue now, beautiful sound systems. They have VIP seating, I think, up front. I'm going to talk to your manager about that. I'm going to change my plans to come see you. And everything else is free. You just come in the fair. You can. It's right next to the funnel cone, if you know where the funnel cones are. And it's phenomenal acoustics, and it's fun, and it's, yeah, I encourage everybody to go. You'll have a blast.
What can people expect tonight at the concert? And Caleb, are you there tonight as well?
Yep.
Is it 8 o'clock? What time are you playing?
I think the show starts at 8:30. I'm not sure, but I know the doors open at 7:30. Caleb is going to help us close the show. We have four great songs that he's going to join us, and just we're going to blow the doors off the place.
Orange County Fair, 7:30 doors open, 8:30 show. Make sure you're there.
Beautiful. Hey, we've got about 4 minutes left, and I want to get through some other questions if I could, and I apologize about having to rush through this, but Caleb, I wanted to start with you. Looking back on your career, are you happy, content with the choices you've made as a person, as a musician? And get close to the mic for me, my friend.
Yes, I'm happy. yeah, absolutely. I mean, in terms of like the music I made with Elton and all of that, very proud of my contribution to his career. Absolutely. I mean, it's so funny because, you know, listening to Kenny talk about, you know, answering your questions about, you know, what made him pick Elton and the influence there. When we made that music, when we started, we never dreamt. That we would be in the history books and have all this kind of... It wasn't even on the radar, you know. And then just last year, what blew me away was to hear that the Elton John album, you know, with the black cover, was put into the Grammy Museum, Grammy Hall of Fame, you know. And, you know, our pictures are all over that. I'm all, you know, all over that. You know, so I'm thinking, wow. We're part of history now. It's just surreal, you know. It's just surreal. And when I saw him play at the NAMM show, I'm just standing in the crowd, you know, and I got to see what he was doing, you know. And I mean, he really captures the spirit of that, you know. Yeah. And then it was surreal, you know. And then there's a guy out there imitating me, you know, with a wig on, you know. It's like, what in the world, you know? So it's just surreal, you know. But it's beautiful. It's great, you know, because you know, Picasso once made a great statement. He said, an artist is the sum total of his influences. So art is all about influence and imitation. You know, you hear something and you go, I want to do that. Just like he was talking about the guy in his school that played Benny and the Jets and all the girls ran around. You know, it strikes a chord. You go, I want to do that, you know.
It literally struck a chord.
It went on the radio,
you know. So, to answer your question, I'm very happy, you know. I mean, I made some mistakes, you know, not happy I got into drugs and all that, you know. But in terms of musical choices and the opportunities that I had to make some music that's gone down in history, you know, very, very happy about that.
Kenny, how does being a Christian influence your music, playing Elton John songs, who is a gay man?
What?
That's an interesting question. How does Christian music influence me, or how does being a Christian?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? It sums up to this, okay? God gave everybody their gifts and their talents. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Mm-hmm. And the gifts from God are without repentance. Now, you know, two things that Christ said that impacted my life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Everything that is within you. And the second was likened unto the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. So with that, you know, I don't have a problem with it, you know. I really don't. It's to touch somebody's life. You know, before I go on stage, just I always ask God to go out there and touch people's lives. You know, let them have fun. Let's take somebody that's in a funk or a depression or something. Let's put a smile on their face and make them happy. And then I meet them after, and I just treat them like I'd like to be treated. And that's it. That's my, you know, where I am with my Christianity. It's just to love people. There's nothing wrong with that.
I love it. I love it. Caleb, besides playing with Kenny tonight for a round of three or four songs, what else are you doing musically?
Well, I currently serve as the worship pastor at the Church on the Way in Van Nuys. So for the last, you know, for the last 30 years, actually, I've been really fully involved in worship music. You know, I teach worship music. I'm an ordained minister. So I got out of the industry, quote unquote, you know. And so it's really funny. It's now at my age, it's like God saying, I want you to get back in there and bring some light back in there, you know. So I'm with Kenny in that, you know, God gave us this gift of music, you know, and the idea behind it is to bless people. You know, so if I can bring a smile to somebody, to you know, and uplift somebody's heart just by playing my guitar and using my musical gift to make the world, you know, hopefully a little lighter, brighter place, you know, I'm doing my job, you know.
Who's the greatest guitar player in the world?
Oh, boy. That's such a tricky question.
Caleb Quaid.
Well, according to a lot of people, that's true. Hey, let's do this. We got 1 minute, April. You want to take us out with a little music, one last little bit of something, you guys, whatever you want?
Yeah, why don't we do the second half of the
No, I'm kidding.
All right. You want to do Benny and the Jets or something?
Yeah, go for it. That sounds fun. Make it happen.
What key are you in?
I don't know.
That,
G?
That'll do. That'll do.
Well, hey. Kids shaking loose the gap of a spotlight's hitting something that's been known to change the weather. Kill the fight and cough the not so stick around. You gotta hear electric music, solid walls of sound. Say, Candy and Ron, have you seen them yet? Oh, but they're so spaced out. Benny and the Jets. They're sweet and they're wonderful. Oh, Banner, she's a relic. She's got electric boots, a mohair suit. You know, I read it in a magazine. Oh, the Benny and the Jets.
KX935, Laguna's only FM, Caleb Quaid, Kenny Metcalf, tonight at the Hangar at the Orange County Fairgrounds. Be there. Take us out of here, April.
Beautiful, guys.
Benny and the Jets. Oh, the wind and the wonder.
Benny and the Jets.
Listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.